be seated here for a minute, if you don't mind. I am done singing, though, so you can take your guitar off there, Dad. Hallelujah. Figured I'd give you a few words here. Well, let me do announcements. You know how I am about that. I wrote it all down this time. Brother Jason is still on for tonight, I believe. I saw the baptismal and closing there and things, so we'll be doing a baptismal service here after preaching service is done. Praise the Lord for that. Also, it's August 1st and 2nd. We're going to have Brother Stuart Duckworth back again, if y'all are here for him. I'm thinking Saturday sometime in the evening, and then Sunday for the service there. I don't plan on missing any time soon here, but pray, I never know anymore. You know, we had quite the weekend here. Friday, I sure appreciate all the offices of the church showing up. Sister Violet was there, Dad and me. I told him, you got all my offices, right? That's all we got. But it was wonderful. I was able to share with what the Lord did for Sister Violet. Embarrass her real good in front of everybody. But I'm glad she was able to be there as a witness, so they knew I wasn't making something up. You know, it's something when it's tangible. It's right in front of you, you know. That's why Brother Bram did that a lot of times. He'll tell a testimony. He says, that person here. And they, you know, find him and said, there he is. You go ask him after service. So that was wonderful. Had good services there. I got to preach about witchcraft on Friday like we took here, but sure didn't feel like the same service. That's usually how it goes. On Saturday, I felt led to really go into the seals and things. And it's just kind of strange when you're a pastor of a different church to do that, but I followed the leading of the Lord. And Brother Samuel said something, but Samuel Johnson, that, you know, I don't think you could explain all that any better than what you just heard. They came up to me later and said, you know, you helped clear up some things that we've been trying to tell people around here for a while. So I was like, well, praise the Lord. You know, that's good. There was a brother there from Nigeria, right? Brother Ike was there with his wife, and I'm just going to tell you what he told me privately, but he said, you're the only American preacher I've seen preach with fire. In one way, I appreciate that, but didn't it do something else to you a little bit? You're like, come on, man, let's go, America. You know, we believe the same God they do in Africa. What's the difference? Amen. Well, we know what it is. You know, we've let things take our joy away. We've had too many conveniences over here to where we get away from God very easily. Or when you don't have a choice, you know, it's kind of hard to get away from your lifeline when there's no alternatives, you know. God don't provide our food, you know, we're not going to have any. You know, we're not accustomed to those things, but God knows. He put us here. We can overcome here. I'm not going to make no excuses for, and I just giving away my title already, but we'll get to that here in a minute. I told you all, I believe I shared it on Wednesday, that Tuesday morning I was praying and I had something happen. While I was praying, I believe God would do it, and I kind of let it go for a little bit, but I'll go ahead and share that if you got a few minutes here this evening. Anybody in a hurry? Everybody got to run out of here real quick and can't preach too long, or you're gonna get all quiet on me and start yawning. On Tuesday, Lord kind of woke me up, I believe, after this. Now I believe it was about 4:30 in the morning, and I was like, well, might as well give up on sleeping, so I'm just going to go pray. And I was praying, and don't ask me to explain it really other than what I'm about to tell you. I saw Brother Samuel's church, and I saw a sister that was sitting over here. And I knew what she was dealing with, and you call it a vision, call it whatever you want, I guess. But I saw her over there, and I knew what she was dealing with, and I knew what to tell her to help her. Well, I saw this sister. She wasn't there Friday, but she was there Saturday, but she was sitting here. And at the end of the service, Holy Spirit's really moving. He was very present. I mean, if anybody, you all that were there, his presence was just so thick. But I've learned, being there, and this is just for us here as a church, that not everybody knows how to handle that. And I'm learning that, you know, what we have is special. When we have people that know how to yield to the Spirit, they know how to, that they're not surprised, and they know how to do things when the Spirit's there. You know, I don't like to presume. And I used to kind of think this weekend showed me that I don't presume like I think I do sometimes, that it's literally that when people pull something out of you, it just kind of happens before you know it, where if people don't know how to do that, they don't know how to yield to the gifts of God, then that can't happen. It just doesn't happen. There's nothing about it. But kind of lost my train of thought there now all of a sudden. What was I talking about? That sister, Saturday night, she wasn't sitting in the right seat, and I kept wondering, like, should I do it? Should I tell her? Or should I, you know, and just trying to, and I just couldn't get peace about it. And I was like, well, I guess it's for tomorrow then. And I went down after service, and I knew Brother Colin would be here. So I went ahead and shared it with him. What the Lord had shown me, he says, brother, you're exactly right. He said, that's right on. That's normally where she sits. He's like, she just wasn't sitting there for some reason, but said, yeah, that's normally where she sits. He said, that's spot on. And I found out that, you know, she had been a Catholic, I guess, and pretty new to the message and things, and her family. Not sure if they're really, you know, all on board and things like that, or and really know what it's all about. But at the end of on Sunday service, you know, the Holy Spirit was just there, and I she was sitting over there like she was supposed to, and the Holy Spirit moved on me, and I told her, I said, sister over there, if you believe me, I said, I know what the devil's done told you. You're never going to understand this. You're not going to know what it's all about. It's not for you, and you're never going to get it. You might as well just quit. But I'm here to tell you, he's lying. I said, you're a part of this. That's why God's called you. And that's just the short of it. But I said, if you'll believe me, I saw you there Tuesday as well, if that'll help you. And her whole family was there on Sunday. They weren't there Saturday. So it was, and you could see almost a surprise on their face. And you see her husband was really getting sincere when altar call and things were going. And I really appreciate the Lord, you know, not letting me presume. You know, that... You know, it could have been good for her, but I'm sure, just like all of us, we care more about our families than ourselves. I'm sure she's prayed many, because I remember her being there last time too, but I've never seen her had a family. I didn't know she even had a family. But God does. And God remembers his word that thine and thy house shall be saved. Amen. And he'll do whatever he's got to do. He'll wake up preacher 4:30 in the morning if he's got to get that person where they need to be. So praise the Lord. It was just a glorious thing. First time something like that's happened just that way. And I'm glad to see God work on both ends. Right before I left, just to share with you, we had somebody lined up to buy our house, and they backed out on Friday, right before I was leaving. It was a little discouraging, but I've learned again, don't worry about that, just commit it to the Lord. Our realtor got a hold of us, and they came in and said, she said, I didn't want to tell you this, but the house that you're trying to buy wanted to have a month extension because they couldn't get everything because the rains helped them build their house. But the people that were going to buy your house wouldn't go for a month extension. So we couldn't, you know, but now that they've backed out, do you want to go a month extension? I said, well, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So I just appreciate the Lord taking care of it, you know, and he gives us a whole other month here. Just pray that God, I believe he'll send somebody. He'll be better off than what it was going to be. And it's just the way he does it, isn't it? He's just glorious. I just love him. I just appreciate the Lord tonight. I appreciate the services, the invitation this weekend. Pray for those saints there. I believe that I shared a lot of my own personal things, and I pray that it has a lasting effect. That's the main thing when you plant the word, and I pray for us here. I'm kind of sick of 1 week, 2 week revivals, you know, one service revival. I think we ought to be a revival. As a church, as an individual, we should always be in the spirit of the revival, of the bride's revival, as the prophet said. So God bless you, and I just wanted to share that. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. I did share some of the other testimonies and things that happened, so I appreciate all you have in faith. It really helps the other brothers and sisters, I'm sure. Galatians 4, verse 1. 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, and an heir of God, through Christ. I'm going to take a little bit different angle tonight on this scripture. I've preached on it a few times here and there. But for tonight, I hope you're praying. There are no excuses in an adopted son of God. There are no excuses in an adopted son of God. Let's bow our heads together. You believe He's here tonight? Hallelujah. Do you have a need as we approach the Word? Knowing that the Word provides all of our needs. Hallelujah. God bless each one. Let's all pray and invite the Lord into the service now as we get ready to preach the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy to us, Father. We think of any other spirit that's been called, anything that's good, Lord, none of it compares to You and the love that You've shown us, Lord, not just one time, but day after day, year after year, month after month, Lord, You're just always there, showering us over with blessings and taking care of every little thing that's in our lives, Father. We pray, Lord, as we come with we come with thankful hearts, Lord, and we pray You forgive us for being unthankful and for griping around and complaining about things when You've just done so exceedingly abundantly more than anything we could ever ask or think. We thank You, Lord. We pray that the blood would just go all the way through our lives, Lord, and wash away all the things that's contrary to You. That, as the Bible says, judgment starts at the house of God. May the Word of God come and destroy every work of the devil. May it bring judgment to all the sins, Lord. May they go before us, that they'll be destroyed by the blood, and they won't. There'll be nothing left to follow after us, Father. We know the time is short. Help the children of God tonight to be more sincere than we've ever been, to be more free in the Spirit, to have more faith than ever before. Help us to focus now on the Word, Lord. You that know the thoughts and intents of the heart, I pray You come and discern every need that's here. May You speak through my lips, but may You feed Your children tonight with the Word into all of our hearts, we pray. We give You the glory, we give You the thanks, and we trust it to You, faithful God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I sure love this message. I love the truth of the Word. I love that I can read the Bible and it makes sense and it applies and it can feed my soul. It's not just like reading a newspaper, but it's just so glorious. I just love that God has not left us a curse, but He's left us a blessing. And He said, if I don't send Elijah the prophet to restore back this Word, I'm going to curse the whole world. But God fulfilled His Word. God brought it to pass. Did it exactly the way He said He would. And I'm thankful for that. He said that the voice, Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when He begins to sound. And I'm so grateful that that voice is still around. I appreciate the Lord giving us the tapes. I appreciate having that I can just pop it in and hear the same thing that, I mean, how many of you would have wished you could have sat there when Paul was preaching this, what I'm about to read here, and just been under that anointing, and God gives it to us. And you say, well, then what are you preaching for, Brother Andrew, if we just stay at home and listen to the tapes? It's the same voice still speaking. See, that's, we ain't changing the voice. He changes the vessel He uses, but I ain't here to preach no different voice. I've got the same voice saying the same things that's vindicating the same gospel that this prophet brought back. And we live in a day now where, especially as I told you about, the brother said about America, a day we are the land of excuses. And I haven't realized, but this is such, the little I'm getting out and the noticing, this ain't something just collective here in our little assembly where people have excuses for things, this or that. But this is an epidemic in what we call the message of the hour. And it's an epidemic in even religion in general. People are losing faith. They are losing it by so fast you don't even know they ever had it anymore. I had an uncle of mine. He was he used to be in the message, I guess, but he's on my mom's side of the family. I don't know him. I don't even know if I've ever met him in my life, but he decided to add me on Facebook one day, and I guess he used to be in the message, and at this time he had left, and you know, he was all free, and he really found the love of Jesus and all these things. You know, that mean old message church, didn't have to be a legalist no more, and he could go get free in the Spirit. Huh, yeah, okay. So anyways, I had quoted something about Brother Branham on my Facebook, and he got on there ranting on. You know, they don't say that, you know, they're coming against Brother Branham, but I knew exactly what he was doing. I knew the Spirit he was of. You can't hide it because I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You might think you can, but He knows. So you can't pull one over on Him. That's right. And I replied very, very nicely, you know, if it doesn't encourage you, if you don't like it, just leave it alone then. Get away, essentially, is what I said. I don't believe in, you know, I was talking to Brother Alexander, and I'll come back to that here in a minute, but you know, we think Peter and John and Paul were just these little sissy pushover kind of men. You know, that's what a lot of people think anymore. That Christians just kind of, you know, well, I guess if it offends you, brother, I'll just walk over here. And I'll try. These were men. These were men who stood for something. This is men that put their lives on the line to stand for this. And they knew when to call black, black, and white, white. You want to know when? Always. When a man came in preaching false doctrine, you know what he did? You know what John the Beloved said? This man over here, he's done, I can't remember, he likes to have the preeminence and all these things. But he did say, this guy over here, he stays with the word. He loves you all. You know, so people love you calling out names as long as it's good. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, brother, sister. We're either going to be consistent or not. That's right. Hallelujah. And I pray that that God gets into us that same way Jesus did. Jesus wasn't no pushover. No, he wasn't. He let sinners, for his own, we understand that he had to give his life. He was a sacrifice and all those things. But when it came to truth, no. He didn't compromise at all. He didn't care who you were. He caught even Peter himself. When Peter got under a devil, he looked right at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yep. That's right. It's not time to pitter-patter around. It's time to get the bride ready. Yep. And the bride is only going to get ready if we preach the word.
Amen.
And if we whitewash it, if we don't need a whitewashing, we need to be washed white. That's right.
Amen.
This uncle of mine, you know, you think that you're free and all these things. I just got on his Facebook just here a little bit ago. I had already done, what is that called when you don't have to look at their stuff? Unsubscribed him. So I don't look at all that trash anymore. He said, "Oh, it's still the Bible." No, not when they got it all tainted up. That's trash. That's right. And sure enough, now he's an atheist. He's all for gay rights, and he just blasts God every single post you can get. You don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost and get away with it. That's right. And you might think I'm being a little harsh, but once you turn away from the Word, that's what you've done. And he didn't do it when he became atheist. He did it the second he turned down the Word for this age. Now, the sad part is, at least those people know where they're heading. At least those people have a clue that if there is a heaven, they ain't going there. But the people that get stuck in a rut right before that, or they stay enough religious that they think they're going to make it, that's why Brother Branham preached disappointments at judgment. And that's the age that we're living in, brother, sister. If there is an excuse for anything that God has commanded, it is now given to us to take. There is an excuse for everything. There's an excuse why you can't come to church. There's an excuse why you can't read the Bible. You know, it's just too hard to understand, so I got to go get this other trash version that don't even got no truth in it. Might not like that. I'm not going to preach that we have to just read the King James, but that's what the prophet used. That's what I'm, and I'm pretty sure God liked that just fine. You know, we don't need to go searching around. And honestly, maybe people haven't heard the same message I have. I've got nowhere else to go. There's nothing else that even scratches the surface. I don't care if it's James Dobson or Benny Hinn and all this other trash that's out there anymore. I don't care when these people take their quotes and they build these doctrines and they got their own books and all this stuff. That don't do me no good. That just taints me up and I hate it. Give me back to the pure word that comes from this message. It's life. It's glory. It defeats the devil everywhere. It's unstoppable. Hallelujah. And it runs your doctrine from Genesis to Revelations without any bumps in the road. That's right. Hallelujah. I love being able to see serpent seed and God's seed and see the Christ and His bride, seeing how God is one, yet He is many. Hallelujah. It just pulls the whole Bible together. Even I just saw one of them, because you know they passed the gay right thing or whatever that means. I don't even care at this point. I'm about done with politics anyways. I think we all can say, man, there ain't nothing left. There's nothing. It's all trash. But they had them gay or bright people out there and they had all their banners. And I happened to notice one. It said Jesus had two fathers and he turned out all right. And he said, "You see what the Trinitarian doctrine does? What is the Trinitarian going to say to that? The Bible says God is the Father of Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus. And with their own doctrine, a homosexual man's proving them wrong." Praise God for a prophet. Hallelujah. I was just reading the Laodicean age. We're just going to loosen up and preach tonight. Praise the Lord. How the only voice that's going to be right is this prophet. That's right. He said the Laodicean age, they're going to receive one major prophet. That's why I believe that he even says it too. That there's prophets and things still in the bride of Christ. I still believe there's five ministerial gifts. I still believe there's nine spiritual gifts. All nine. In every assembly. Somewhere they're there. I even helped the church there up in Ann Arbor. I told them there's a few of you that got it and you just don't know how to use it yet. I said, "I can tell, right?" You try to encourage, but I can't make you do it. God can't make you do it. You've got to yield yourself. And the only way to do that is what Brother Collins was preaching this Sunday. You've got to get over your fear. And what does fear show? That you have a lack of faith. Because the second you understand that you are a son of God, and that God has commissioned you to be in Laodicea, to sit in this church, and to be a faithful soldier for Christ, it don't matter how many devils show up, what are you afraid of? God is for you. Who can be against you? Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. But I sure appreciate the Lord. This word is right. There is no other messenger to come. He is the one that God sent us. Amen. You put your soul on it. Amen. Show me another man that can stand up and say, if you don't understand it, just believe me anyhow. Right. I'll have God put that on my account. Show me another man who said, rapture and faith is in these messages. I know people get all upset. He didn't say it was on the tapes. I understand you didn't find the quote just the right way, but he did say it's in these messages. That's right. And I'm here to say it ain't nowhere else. Mm-mm. You show me something else that can pull the truth out of the Word of God and show you that you were always a son. We're going to get on that. So if you're always a son and God has made a promise in this day for the sons of God, it's a lot easier to accept it for yourself than when you're just a sinner. And God, you know, might care a little. He might have sent His Son, but you're just this pitiful sinner over here. And maybe if you get it figured out just right, you'll be able to bury your way out of sin and get up to glory one day. And you try that. Pray that ain't you today, because if you're trying to do that, you ain't never going to make it. He's made the way for us. I never made it. He made it for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you read this scripture here. It says we are heirs of God. We are heirs to Christ. We are always heirs. But before you got the Holy Ghost, you were subject to things. Isn't that right? You were under the bondage of the world. You had to look like them. You had to act like them. And even those of us that might have heard the message but didn't get the Holy Ghost, you still had to be like them. You hated it. You didn't want it. But you couldn't do anything about it. You talk like them. You act like them. You go cry about it, try to get right. There ain't nothing getting right about it. You got to die. That's what it is. We got too many people looking for deliverance, and all they need is repentance. Oh, God, deliver me, deliver me. How about you repent of this sin that you're doing all the time, and then God's delivering power will show up. That's right, brother, sister. Hallelujah. But it said you were, past tense. Who's got the Holy Ghost today? All right, then, let's take the word off the pages and say, Lord, that's for me. I was in bondage. I was under the elements of this world. But, I love the word in the Bible. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law. Made under the law. Why? Because that's where we were stuck. We were stuck down there, so somebody had to come get us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And He redeemed us out from under the law. So He either did that or He didn't. But I believe He did. How? He says He sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So to say I'm a son, and as far as the Bible goes, that's the adoption. He says right there that we might receive the adoption of sons. And just real quick, I don't want to preach on adoption tonight in itself. I don't want to do that because people get all worked up about it. I believe the Holy Ghost, as far as the Bible goes, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the adoption into the bride of Christ. That's absolutely what He's talking about. You'll find it in Romans 8, here in Galatians 4. Jesus Himself, when He came to the river Jordan to be baptized of John, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Ghost filled Him right there. And people get all worked up. Well, then what about man transfiguration over here? I understand that, but just let me get this. It'll lead to that. That's the problem. People trying to bypass this because they don't like this down here. They like Mount Transfiguration. Oh, man, the glory of God. They don't like the rebuke of being here with some snotty-nosed preacher, wool all over him. Everybody's rejecting him. He's the one that's going to baptize you. And nobody believes in what's going on anyways. And when He baptizes you, only John sees what's going on. Only John saw what was going on. Only Elijah saw what was going on. Only Elisha saw. Remember? They had the whole army around them. Gehazi said, "What are we going to do? We're dead." He said, "Open this poor blind guy's eyes." He looked and there's chariots of fire all around. Hallelujah. Woo! We've had another Elijah come Nobody else knows what was going on. Even when the seals were opened, how many that were listening? He said it himself. He said, there ain't but two or three of you even know what I'm talking about. I keep waiting for somebody to come show me what it's all about. There's hardly anybody that does. But he was seeing something. And in this day, I believe even right now, here in 2015, God is finally getting his bride to see what was given all the way back in them seals. I still stand with what I've said before. As far as modern events, that was the most important thing that ever happened. Without the opening of the seals, how could you have rapturing faith?
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. But, brother, sister, I've learned that we've decided sometimes that Jesus isn't the example of a son of God anymore. That's too hard. That's too much to ask out of people. We live in a dark age. It's Laodicea. It's the darkest age there's ever been. We have to have TV. We just can't resist it. We have to lust. It's everywhere. We have to be gluttons. There's food everywhere. We have to be backslidden. The spirits are everywhere. And you're right about all of that. But we were under the elements of the world. But somebody has come.
Amen.
And grabbed that predestinated. And grabbed her out of there. And raised her up here.
Yes.
And the standard never changes. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. You say, well, where does that put us? Well, if there's only one Son, yet we are sons, we had to be in Him. That's absolutely the Scriptures. Calling Jesus on the scene, 1963. Remember, in flesh He was just a man, but in spirit He was God. But a man in flesh, therefore His body was a human being that was subject to temptations, subject to sicknesses, and just the same as ours, as He had to put on to be a man, a human. And then He was God in the spirit. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. When John baptized Him on the River Jordan, we see God descending from heaven like a dove. And the voice saying, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell in. He explains how it really means whom I'm pleased to dwell in. We understand that. He, God, dwelt in Christ, and in Him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And how many times we read that scripture, we didn't have a clue what that was talking about. We thought it was all the Father and all the Son and all the Holy Ghost was all together. Now we see it was all the attributes of God were in one being. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Feels so good. I just love it. I love it. I don't know. Maybe it's gotten old to you, but I love this thing. Glory to God. But He, God, dwelt in Christ, and in Him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God expressing Himself through Jesus, and Jesus was the vindication of God. Hallelujah. Can you understand it now? See, not three people, three attributes of one God. Now, not three gods. Three gods, heathen. See, that's not three gods. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost isn't three different gods. It's one God manifest in three manifestations. God the Father, in the form of the Holy Spirit, was in the pillar of fire that no man could touch around Him. He was holy. No sin offering was made, just a potential offering. Now, that same pillar of fire, the fatherhood, came down. It was made God in sonship. We're talking about being adopted sons tonight. So if we want to know the example, how God became flesh in Christ is to repeat in this age.
Amen. Exactly.
Now, the virgin birth, we understand, was the propitiation for our sins. But the life that happened after River Jordan is to be reproduced by the bride of Christ in this day. She was bound. We know she's always been the bride from Paul all the way down. She's been the bride the whole time, but she's been caged. She couldn't because of denominational traditions. By creeds and dogmas, she was bound down. And I hate to tell you, brother, sister, if you don't have the life of Christ, you're still bound. Even if you tag on message believer, we can preach on Pentecost and we can preach on Baptist. We can go tell Catholics how they're all wrong. We need to get to our old grummy door and get these doctrines out of our lives.
Amen.
If you can't say it's here in the Scriptures, brother, don't teach nobody else that. That's right. Don't say, well, Brother Bram said that, but I got kind of this revelation here. Forget it, brother, sister.
Amen.
Either He said it, either God gave it, or it ain't for this age. That's right. God knew what He gave us when He restored us.
Amen.
I don't need another one, but God has now, He's brought forth His fullness of His Word. He knew that the seals had to be opened for the bride to be overcome, but He did it.
Amen.
He didn't leave us hopeless.
Amen.
He did it already.
Amen.
Hallelujah. the same pillar of fire, the fatherhood, came down. It was made God in sonship. He dwelt in a pillar of fire here in the Shekinah glory. Here he dwelt in a body, which was his son that he created and made in the form of a man, so that him, the son of God, the second Adam. Amen. That is the example of a son of God. A son of God is God made a human. God made flesh. And that definition can never change. And it's not just a little, they just don't quite understand all this stuff. The Bible called it the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. I'm going to read it to you. You might know it, so I'm just going to do it real quick here. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out to the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, I can't say that right, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. People think Brother Branham was going off on tangents. He didn't know what he was talking about. He's getting all these crazy doctrines. What do you say to John then?
Yes, sir.
And he's not just saying this is a doctrine that we kind of like around here. He's saying this is the only way you know a spirit comes from God.
Amen.
Is if it shows that God, Jesus Christ, the manifested God, is still in flesh today.
Amen.
And, verse 3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And that, and we say this is that. You know, we preach that. This is that, that was spoken, this was that. How about this one? That's this is that. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard it shall come, even now already is it in the world. And just in case you thought he was just going off on a tangent, he wrote another letter in 2 John, and he happens to say the same thing. 2 John verse 7, For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So the definition of what a son of God is what the Bible said it was. It's God made flesh.
Amen.
And to change that, to alter it, to say it's too hard and we can't do it and line up a bunch of excuses.
Amen.
Isn't just having a bad day.
No, it's not.
It isn't just being a little loose in your doctrine. It is the spirit of Antichrist has gotten to your life.
Yeah.
And he'll come in very inoffensively. He's got all kinds of excuses. I'm just going to preach today. I hope that's all right. But he's got those demons that come and tell you why it's okay to miss church for this. It's okay to miss for that. It's okay. I know what Brother Branham said, but.
Sure.
But God understands. He understands that he sent you a voice and you should do what that voice says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you what. If there's a holiday, we ain't working. Nope. I don't care how long the job's going over. It's holding off for tomorrow.
Right.
We got a holiday tomorrow. We don't need to do that. What about the holiday of the resurrection? No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, if it runs over Saturday. Well, got to go in. Got to get it done. Well, we didn't get the job done Wednesday. We're going to have to stay here all night.
Uh-huh.
Faithless generation. When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, he said, you're wicked and adulterous. When he rebuked his disciples for not casting out a devil, he says, you're perverse and faithless.
Right.
There's a difference there. We're not wicked because God has saved us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not adulterous because we're married. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we can't be faithless.
Shame on us.
And perverse when you get loose in your doctrine. That's right. It's not good, brother, sister. He doesn't pat us on the back and say, well, that's all right. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he reaps.
Amen.
And for every excuse you plant down, you'll reap a whole crop of unbelief. And I'll just start there. Before you know it, then you can't read the Bible because it's too hard to understand. Then you can't read the message because I don't know what it's all about. Come on now. It's just too hard. I'm just too simple for that. You can't get more simple than this message. It's so simple. You just need to ask God to actually open your eyes one time and quit trying to figure the thing out. That's what God never asked us to figure it out. You can't figure it out, but the Holy Spirit already did.
Amen.
If you want to know what a book's all about, you can read the book. That'll help. But if you can find the author and have a little conversation. Now, you ought to read the book or you're not going to even know what he's talking about. There's our other problem. We want God to give us a revelation, but we give him no grounds to even put the seed in. We come to church all cold and formal and starchy, and you can just see it, just a big slab of concrete. And God's faithful. He pours down the seeds. He gives us the word, service after service after service. And then we'll go blame him. Why ain't got no joy? I knew it was in church. I felt good in church. What happened? It's you that's the problem. Look, the seed sower, what was he told to do? Throw it everywhere. Yeah. On the byway, on the side, on the concrete, and finally on some good ground. Right. Sower didn't get rebuked for doing that. Why? Because there was plenty of seed to go around. Amen. Hallelujah. What did he rebuke? The ground. He said, well, this is just the way I am. Excuses. I can't help it. Excuses. It's the way my mama was. Excuses. So wait, this is what this church did to me. I have to be that way. Excuses. If it's not what Christ is, it's a lie. And it's not just a bad spirit. We need to take that out of our vocabulary. Let's call them what they are. Devils. Anytime you think it's okay to pack a devil around, remember what Brother Branham said about that woman decided to go back to the dance hall one night. You know, just getting a little perverse in her doctrine. And she came out and said, I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. And Brother Branham prayed for her. God had mercy and delivered her. And the prophet of God said it was just this bat-looking, stingy, stringy thing came out of her and went flying off. Next time you're just letting the devil come and say, oh, it's okay. You don't need to pray tonight. Just watch another movie. Just know what's cuddling up with you in bed. Come on now, brother, sister. See, that's what needs to happen. We need revelation of how filthy and dirty and ugly unbelief really is. Amen. And that's all unbelief. That's the stuff you bring to church saying, well, I mean, I could get healed today, but, you know, if it's the Lord will, that's disgusting, gross, and vile unbelief.
That's right.
His will is to heal us. He promised it. He said, I am the Lord, and I heal all thine infirmities.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every son of God will be like the Son of God. And what separated him from everyone else is he always believed the Word.
That's right.
I wish we got a little bit more amen in us. Maybe God wouldn't have to raise these children to scream it at us. I think sometimes our knees are bent in church and all of a sudden they start working the second we get out. If you hear something good, I think we need to raise that old tradition of getting up and praising the Lord once in a while. So I was telling church down up in Ann Arbor there, he said, you know, a lot of times preacher gets going along and you watch people, they kind of start doing this and I said, well, if you just quit doing that and just stand up and praise the Lord a little while, it'll relax all that. You know, you can stretch it back out. A little carnal, but hey, it's better than nothing. You're carnal for just sitting if you know God's blessed you. I'm sorry, but I believe the sons of God shouted for joy.
Amen.
Brother Dan, I don't think they were sitting over there saying, watching redemption go by. I said, man, that's pretty good. Praise the Lord. Shout for joy, brother. I'm going to preach this guy. I don't know if I said it here, but I'll say it again. I think who told me that? Joel Forney said this or something? He's like, you all know the Price is Right, right? You all seen that show? Bob Barker, Price is Right, you know? And they go and they say, you know, who's the next contestant on the Price is Right? And they're swooming the camera. And they're going to call John Russell. John, they call my name. Well, so happy to be here today. But I'm just not very emotional, Bob. Just strolling down the lane, you know. Said, I'm just thrilled to pieces on the inside, but I'm just not a very emotional person. Get up there and say, I'm sure glad you called me, Bob. What's the first item up for bid, you know? Hopefully I win. And then, you know, he wins the first round, whoever gets up there, and they open it up and say, here you go, John, a brand new car. That's awful nice. Come on, brother, sister. And I ain't trying to tell jokes. You know that's the truth. If people walked into and the Price is Right like they do into church, that's exactly what it looked like. And when they're screening the congregation, half the contestants wouldn't show up because they weren't even listening when they called their name. How many times does the Holy Spirit come to church, I wonder, and manifested something for a person in church, but they're too busy sleeping on God, they can't even hear that Jesus is calling their name.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was pretty good. Hallelujah. Son of God, one thing you can rest assured, he will always believe the word for his day. And he say, well, where am I going to get that example? Do you know Jesus himself was no exception to that? He had to believe the word for himself.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And he wasn't just coming up to anything. He was coming up to the most vile, cruel-hearted death you could ask for.
Yes.
And the Bible gives him one word of encouragement. I'm just going to have to paraphrase it. The Bible said, I will not leave thy soul in hell, neither will thy Holy One see corruption. You look for another promise that talks about him actually raising within a 3-day period. That's what he had to rest his soul on. A song that a preacher who was backslid.
Right.
Remember, he done went off with Bathsheba and things. Backslid preacher wrote down. But it was the word of the Lord. And Jesus himself had to believe that word in order to come out of the grave. And he did. Well, how are we going to overcome this? How are we going to be like this? You know, and how am I going to overcome all this? The Bible said there will be a bride. There will be a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Say, well, I need this. It needs to say my name. It already did right there. It's in the Word. It said church. Go ahead and stand, Brother Dan. Just praise the Lord. He almost jumped out of his seat, but go ahead next time. I'm not trying to make you religious. Just see, what we need to do is quit being the outward man. That guy's dead. Be the guy on the inside. He's the one when he hears that word, he just can't help it. He just loves praising God for it. Thank you, Jesus. Even I'll just quote it from Brother Branham in case you didn't believe me. Divine Healing, 1954, he says this, hallelujah, Jesus, with one single scripture spoken by a backslid preacher under inspiration, believed it and trusted his soul to go to hell.
Oh my.
That's right. I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, you can give me all excuses you want. God has not asked us to have that kind of faith, to go to hell and back. But he did it for us.
Amen.
Thank the Lord Jesus. And there it is. Church Age book, Permanent Church Age. Listen now. And there it is. You can't claim the manifestation. Now, I'm just a little bit different thought here, but just let me tie it together. You can't claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit born, spirit filled. No, sir. I will admit that true manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing mighty acts, but it's not the evidence of the individual being Spirit-filled,
right.
Even though that individual has an abundance of these manifestations. The evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of our Lord. It is receiving the Word of truth for the day in which you live. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as He did the Word. He still stressed the works, but not like he did the Word.
Amen.
You have to have the Word first.
Amen.
But if you have the Word, the works follow.
Amen.
He knew that if the people got the Word, then the works would follow. That is Bible.
Amen.
A lot of times now, because of all these excuses, what does it begin to build up? It begins to build a complex to where now being a son of God is a burden.
Oh my.
It's so hard.
Oh, come on.
I mean, don't you want to watch The Price is Right now? Don't you want to go get TV and get cable so you can watch it every day at, what was it, 11 o'clock? I think I remember that from... No, brother, sister, it's the greatest honor in the world to be called a son of the Most High God. You call me what you want to. You can say, oh, aren't you great, brother? You can call me pastor. You can call me brother. All these things. I don't care about all that. Just let me hear his voice say, come up here, my son. Come up here, my son. Hallelujah. And I've heard that voice. It gave me the Holy Ghost. Why did I hear Father? Because something in me said, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Why did that happen, brother, sister? Because I was a son. Hallelujah. I couldn't help it. He's just my daddy. Nobody think it's crazy for me to call him dad, do you? Now, why do we act like we're treading on sacred ground when we go up there? That's my papa. That's my God. That's my daddy. I love him, and I know he loves me. Behold, what manner of love, 1 John 3:1. What manner of love hath the Father, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, God, is pure. Where's room for excuses in that scripture right there? He says, when I see the Son of God, so what kind of love has God shown us to call us the sons of God? But when God will appear, how's He going to appear? In Jesus Christ. When He shall appear, and we're in His appearing now. When He shall appear, I know I shall be like Him.
Amen.
There's no excuses for that. When He preached the Word, I'm preaching the Word. When He went to church, I'm coming to church. When He believed the Word, I believe the Word. When He had so much faith that even though the ship was a rock and everybody was running crazy, He was taking a nap.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Like I said, we all think Jesus is just this little pushover sissy man. You should, you know, and people think it's inconsiderate when you're like that. Don't you understand what I'm going through? And Jesus got up and said, well, that's what they told Him. He said, Jesus, don't you care about us? Don't you know we're going to die? And that, what's the word I want? He's just not very sympathetic. And, you know, He don't really care. Comes up and says, what y'all hollering about? He says, don't you have any faith?
Right.
And they all kind of looked at Him, I'm sure. You know what? Faith is pretty offensive when you don't have it. Because you think somebody's being disrespectful. But He went right up to the frame of the boat and says, peace be still.
Yep.
And I'm sure He kind of sighed and just did it because they needed Him to. They should have done it themselves. Because He'd already, you know, done bless Him, called Him, and everything else. And He turned around and says, where is your faith? And He went back to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Another time, I believe it's Jairus' daughter. Remember, they're all hooping and hollering and everything else. He comes in there and says, what are you making all this ado for?
Right.
She's not dead. She sleeps. And it said that they laughed Him to scorn.
That's right.
Which means first they were like, this is so ridiculous. You cannot be this bat crazy. But it got to the point where they're actually upset at it for it. What are you doing? What are you talking about? You are a jerk.
Right.
Don't you know this man just lost his daughter?
Right.
Yeah, he did. That's why he wanted to do something about it. And if he just would have dwelt in the same unbelief that they were, there would have been no hope for her. But he said, he was like, no, that's fine. He said, get out of here. Go ahead and leave. That's fine. Y'all, you goats can leave. I'm going to go to the sheep for a little bit. A lot of pastors done misquoted the word. The Bible said the good shepherd leaveth the 99 sheep to go after the one sheep. A lot of pastors think that you can leave the 99 sheep to go after 10 goats. They don't believe the word and they're making a fuss. There's the door. There's no excuses in an adopted son of God.
Amen.
That's right. Praise the Lord. But he went in there. He saw her dead there. He said, it's not Tabitha. That was Peter. He said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And presented her back.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Marriage of the Lamb. I'm going to read you a few quotes here. How many think it's a privilege to be a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. But let's be careful now. I wonder if it's the Marriage of the Lamb, 62. I wonder if Jesus' face don't turn a little red too when He calls on us for a work. Come on now. Calls on the Pentecostal movement for fellowship and brotherhood, but we're so tightly organized, these little groups, that we won't bend for the other. We're so getting so worldly and things like that, we're getting ashamed of the name of Pentecost. Some people is afraid to say, well, I belong, I'm a Christian, but I'm glad I got a Pentecostal experience. Amen. I'm glad to bear the name of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest privilege I ever had to say I'm part of Him.
Amen.
We're getting that way in the message, church. You're afraid to say, Brother Branham said. We're afraid to say, you know, the prophet of God said. Malachi 4 is fulfilled. Well, you know, I don't know if they really have that or whatever, or this prophet has, thus saith the Lord. I'm sorry, he told me there's no more signs coming for the church. They have received their last sign. And I already read the quote. He said it was the discernment. And when he did it without even looking. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few more here. You all know this. This is when he was in the mountain and he's all those things. He said, God calls for a total separation from unbelief. 64. I started walking down the mountain and the snow was all drying up with the hot sun, steam coming off of my shirt, just a moment or two difference. And I started walking down the mountain and when I did, I heard a voice say, why don't you walk with me? I said, Lord, the greatest privilege I ever had. Hallelujah. And then in birth pain 65, I love this. He was praying at the end of the service and he says, "Father, it is the greatest privilege that a mortal ever had was to close his eyes and open his heart and speak to you." Wow. And we know that you hear if we could just believe that you hear. Hallelujah. It's the greatest honor to be a son of God. It's not a burden to me. It is not I don't need to compromise on the word of God to be one. I am happy that he brought me to the hardest age there ever was so he can receive the most glory out of my life. Amen. I am glad to be in Laodicea. They get too many loud amens because you think, "Oh, it's just so tough, brother, sister. Brother Angie, you don't understand." Yes, I do. I understand what the prophet said. He said, if God would have spread out all the time, it says, "What age do you want to live?" And I said, "Right now." Because it's the most glorious age for the church there's Amen. Ever been. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we need to realize that God called us to this by predestination. That there's no getting away from it. This is what we have to be. And when something comes up and says, "You can't do it. It's too hard. You don't need to. You can compromise." You need to just take this little title with you. There are no excuses in an adopted son of God.
Amen.
God himself, I just love it. He doesn't even have his own hands on earth right now. Do you know that?
Right.
He has us for his hands. He doesn't have his own feet. He has us. When the seals were open, Christ appeared, but you only see his head.
Yeah.
Where's his body?
Right. Oh, my. Amen.
The Bible says that the bride is the body of God, the body of Christ. That's why that question was so important that was asked. They asked Brother Branham, "Is the bride of Christ and the body of Christ the same thing?" He said, "Yes, it's exactly the same." We are his ambassadors. We're the ones that stand for him. We ought to be joyous about that. It ought to be a privilege to us. But where's the last time you've seen Christians that even can wear a smile in this age? Hardly. We have powerful services, and the first thing that happened, God forbid, I had this happen Sunday. Just had a good old time. God even spoke to this man. I told him, I said, "You're in the same cage. You keep walking right back in the same cage over and over again. But I'm here to tell you to just believe. You don't have to do it anymore." You know what he's got down saying? He said, "The devil, he just never sleeps. He just always blah, 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 blah." And I'm saying, quit doing that. You're back. You're already back in the same cage. And people think, "Well, if only my pastor, if only this or that, if only I could do that." No, you need to believe. That's the problem. This man had the word of the Lord come to him, and it did nothing for him. There's so many degenerates this message that will apply something like that because some degenerate soul had "Thus saith the Lord" come to them, but they didn't believe it. Now, that can be a glorious thing now. Hallelujah. Now, you might not understand, but I'm just going to have to preach. How long are you going to give me? I mean, I'm almost out of time right now. But Jonah one time had "Thus saith the Lord" walked right into Nineveh. He said, "Repent because you're dead." Actually, he didn't even say repent. He said, "In so many days, the whole nation's gone." The king of Sodom, or not Sodom, well, essentially the same, but the king of, Nineveh. The king of Nineveh. He believed what was said. And most of us said, "Well, we're done. We're done." But something began to stir in him. He says, "Well, maybe God will have mercy." He said, "I proclaim a fast, everyone, man, beast, woman, child." Oh, don't do that in this age. "Fast? My child needs to eat." Problem is, you don't think your life's on the line yet. That's the problem. You don't think your life's on the line. You don't think your spiritual life's on the line when you let these devils in your life. But everyone in Nineveh believed the king's word.
That's right.
And all of them fasted. They didn't drink water, nothing.
That's right.
Beast, human, didn't matter. Child, nobody. We're all getting sackcloth and ashes, and we're going to cry out for mercy. And the word of the Lord came right back and told them, "I'm not going to do it. I repent of the evil." See, that can be a glorious thing.
Yeah.
But what moved the heart of God? He saw their faith. He saw their works. He saw that they believed it.
Amen.
It moved on him. There was another man. "Thus said the Lord, you're dead. You're not going to get over it. Get ready. Get your house in order because you're gone." He turned to the Lord, put up his hands and said, "Lord, you see now I've walked before you with a perfect heart. Give me 15 years. Before the prophet, it says he got to the gate. He was just about out. Service was almost over. And something stopped him. And said, sing that last chorus again. I wonder how many times that's happened. He said, go back to him and tell him I give him 15 years. I even give him a little sign here. We'll turn time back for him. Remember the sun moved back 10 degrees. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Neither do men light candle or a candle put under a bushel, but on a candlestick it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I've learned you cannot overstep that scripture no matter who you are, no matter what pastor preaches. I can't do it for you.
Right.
If that's where your heart is, that's where your treasures are. That's where your efforts will go. That's where your love will be. It will not be in God if you put it somewhere else. There will your heart be also. And he says this, I just love it. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. This is Jesus now. I've never caught this before. Your light's burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord. When he will return from the wedding, when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. That's what's going to catch people off the rapture. Not that they didn't know what was going to happen.
That's right.
Not that they didn't know how it was going to happen. They didn't know when.
That's right.
And if you don't know when, how can you be prepared? You'll have to be always prepared. But I'm learning, even just after preaching the word here for a little while now, that the bride is getting ready. She's getting ready. I've learned to never be discouraged with preaching the truth. No matter what happens and things, when you see certain people doing this or that, I begin to watch. But wait, what healed Sister Violet? Wait, what brought that lady's tongue to taste? What brought Brother Dan back to the Lord? Come on now. What brought Brother Jason in? I mean, I think if I would have been a little wishy-washy, what then? What then? Some of us have sat in message churches for years and years. Why didn't it work?
Right.
Was it the word's fault? Not necessarily. And I just picked a few examples. Don't be all water. Do I need to go to every one of us and say something? You'd say it about me. I just got to get a bigger pulpit, brother, sister. Man. But God wants soldiers. He wants people that aren't ashamed. He wants people that don't let down on the standard. He wants people that have thus saith the Lord and stand behind it and won't let no devil, no church, no pastor, no creed, no message. I don't care where it's coming from. If it comes contrary to what God has given us, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Denounce the thing. Stand for the word.
Amen.
It's all right for you sisters to tell sisters, hey, that's not very nice what you're wearing today, sis. It's a little revealing. And quit making preachers do it because then people think that they're looking for sex or something like that. I said it, but that's all right. If we would all, that's what the Bible said, let the older women teach the younger women so they don't get in this rut. But instead we said, well, it's all right. You know, she's just 13. She'll get over it. Come on now. Oh, you're just a little old-fashioned. Yeah, is that why it's so skin tight you can't breathe, sis? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Bram talks about the slave one time. You all know the story. I'm just going to read it here. The owner went to go buy a slave, and he said this. At trial, 64. And he went out there, and he noticed them, how they was all. But one young fella, they didn't have to whip him. His chest was out. His chin was up, right on the dot. The buyer said to the owner, I'd like to buy that slave. He said, oh, no, he's not for sale. He said, well, said, is that slave, is he the boss over the rest of them? He said, no. He's not the boss. Is he the pastor? Is he a deacon? Is that why he's got such power with God? Is that why he's so happy all the time? Does he get paid heavy on the plate or something? Or does he get free meals? Or why is he so happy? Maybe he's just got the joy of the Lord. And you ain't got nothing. Not time to get jealous. It's time to say, Lord, but it's for me. It's for me too. I mean, I see they got it. Praise the Lord. But isn't that for me too?
Amen.
He said, no, he's not the boss. He said, do you feed him different? Oh, see, that's what it is. God just comes to you and weighs better than he comes to me. Oh, now we're going to blame God.
Oh, my.
Ooh, people do that, though.
Yeah.
Well, God don't talk to me. Oh, yeah, he does. You just don't know how to listen. Because he tells you the first thing, repent. If you won't get past that step, he won't talk to you no other ways.
Right.
That's all you're going to hear. That's why people get discouraged and run off. Because instead of just repenting of their sins and getting that stuff out of their life, they say, no, it's okay, and they make excuses. And that's why they never become adopted sons. God can't use them. Hallelujah. Do you feed him different? Said, no. They all eat in the galley together. He's just a slave. Said, what makes him so much different from the others? He said, I wondered a long time myself what made him different. But one day I found out over in the homeland where they come from, Africa, his father is the king of the tribe. And yet being an alien, he knows he's the son of a king and he acts like one. Oh, what that ought to do to us. Though we be alienated, though we're in a dark world of unbelief and sorrow and sickness and death, yet let's act like sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
We are the sons and daughters of the King. It ought to change our attitude, everything. No matter what the rest of the world is, we must hold up the rights of God. We remember that this is not our home. We are not of this country. We are not of this world. We are born of the Spirit of God, which is above.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. We are not of this world. We are not even making investments here. The first thing I'm doing is saying, here's my house, here's my car, here's my clothes. Take them because they're going to get burned up anyways. I got a street of gold where I'm going.
Amen.
I got a body that's eternal.
Amen.
That don't never wear out. Now, there's one last thing I got to say about an adopted son. Is when he's really a Christian, he's really got the Holy Ghost, there's one other defining characteristic of who he is. Are you ready? You have your Bibles. Can you turn them with me? Hebrews chapter 12. Are you going to say amen to the word?
Amen.
Is it right no matter what?
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hallelujah. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. No, that's not. He blesses. That's what he does. If he loves you, he blesses you all the time, no matter what you're doing or what's wrong. It doesn't matter. He just keeps blessing you. It's not what the Bible said. The Lord loveth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you're an adopted son, you've got an excuse why this scripture don't apply to you now? That scripture right there should drive every ounce of complaining out of our lives. Because you can always tie it into this. Lord, you must love me. Because I'm going through chastisement. Just quit playing dumb. You know what you did. You know what you didn't do. You just need to fix it. Just do what he says. That's right. For in the Lord, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the Father and spirit of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Amen.
Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness under them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore,
amen.
Moan, complain. Don't sing because you didn't like the song. It's not your favorite, so we can't really worship today. Had a rough day at work. Lord rebuked me for doing wrong. I came to church and the pastor just beat me left and right. So I'm just going to lay here until he finally says dismissed and I'm running out the door. I don't know what version you're reading, but it's not the Bible. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Isn't that a way, much better way? Just say amen to the word of God and say, Lord, just fix it. Just bring me right back. I know where you're taking me. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, that's fine. I know it hurts. I know I got to get rid of this thing I've loved for 20 years. I know I've done sowed so many seeds here and there and everything else. But tear it all out, Lord. It's wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think the Lord is even doing that in this day with people that's been in the message for years and years and years and years, but can never seem to get what it's all about. He's asking you to turn back and pull out all those weeds and garbage and everything else. He said, but you invested so much, don't worry about that. It's trash.
Amen.
Just let the Lord put the Word back in you. That's right. It was always there, but you done put all these weeds in. Get it out. One more here. I'm going to finish on this. Jehovah Jireh 3. I didn't expect you to scream at this part of the service, but I expect it to be the truth anyhow. And I expect it's the only way for us to really accept the Word for ourselves. That's right. It's to know the whole package. We done made it too pretty for the convert in this day. We've made it too pretty of an experience to be a Christian in this day. And that's why they're totally disappointed when they get in. God will heal you when you're sick, but guess what? You might get sick. God will heal you, or God will take care of your needs when you have need of it, but that means you might go through a trial so God can show Himself mighty on your battle.
Amen.
That's right. God might bring you and say, this is your land, but there'll be giants all over it. God might think, or you might bring you to a battle and you think you're going to win, but realize you're running out of time and might have to ask you to have enough faith to tell the sun to stand still.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's not a cakewalk, church. And if you're wrong and you can't say, and I agree with the Bible here, this is how you can find a son of God more than any manifestation, more than anything else, if they hear the Word. And it just rubs them raw. They done messed this up. They don't even believe it hardly. But they found out it's the Word, and they can say, it's right, and I'm wrong. That's hard to find, brother, sister. All right, let me read this last quote. I was reading Jehovah Jireh 3, 1962, and I just wanted to pull this out here. Now that's where people fail. Now listen real close now. Don't miss it. The Bible said that every son that cometh to God must be chastened, chastised, whipped. And if he cannot stand the chastisement, we become bastard children and not the children of God. It proves that our faith wasn't what we said it was. We haven't got what we profess to have. Now we're getting down to some real good Calvinism now. So we have to watch that. Now notice, every son that cometh to God must be chastened, chastised. The Word will whip him and cut him to pieces, knock every creed from under him. See, tried and see if he is the Son of God. Let's stand together today. Hallelujah. Maybe we can try an F on this. I'm not sure if that's going to be too high or not. Go ahead, Dad, try it.
What number?
It's 239. You know, He became me that I might become Him through grace. Thank you, Jesus.
I might
of might that I would become him. Hallelujah. Oh, he became me that I would become him, my grace.
Hallelujah. Aren't you happy? Thank you, Lord. By grace, that God brought you to the word of this hour, to rapturing faith, to rapturing grace today, just by his unmerited favor for you. Brother, sister, you got nothing to be afraid of. With every head bowed now, to change the order of the service, you've heard the word come forth. If you find yourself on the wrong side, I'm here to tell you, I believe with all my heart, grace for the believer to come back. How many more times do we have? I don't know. Brother Branham was preaching souls that are in prison now, 50 years ago. Hallelujah. If you want to repent to the Lord, and you're sincere, I pray, you raise your hands to him and say, Lord, I've just made too many excuses. I'm sorry. I'm making it right now. I know you're calling me to a higher walk than what I'm walking. I've made reasons why I have to stay this way, why I can't be what you show me in my heart I ought to be. Would you surrender now your thoughts and say, Lord, all those excuses, take them away. Let the blood of the Lamb just bleach it all from my heart, all from my mind, and let the fire of God burn it out of me by the Holy Ghost. And I'll quit going those routes. Some of you might be using that excuse. It might happen every day, every minute. Some reason why you can't pray at all times, like the Bible said we ought to. Brother, sister, you can't. You can live in that realm. God has called us there. God bless you, brother, sister. There's hands all over this place. Don't be ashamed now. That's why we raise our hands and surrender. We're saying, Lord, I surrender all my ideas. It's all dead. I'm done with sin. I'm done with these things. I don't want no more excuses in my life, Lord. When the doors are open for the house of God, I want to be so eager to get there. I can't wait for it to open up. When I wake up in the morning, I don't want to get my feet out of my bed before I just want to spend a little time talking with you, just you and me, Lord. Before I got to talk to anybody else. When it's my downtime, my free hour, Lord, I'm done making excuses why I can't pray, why I can't read. I'm just too distracted. It's just too loud in here. Brother, sister, it's time to take dominion over your inheritance. You're not a servant. You are a son. God has brought the Holy Spirit. He's right here in the service now. He's moving all through. Don't let faith wane now. Let it rise like never before. That you know who you are. You know in whom you've believed. Hallelujah. Praise your glorious name. Every day, brothers and sisters, it is going to be a battle. But put the stake down now that you are on the Lord's side. You're going to fight for him with all your heart. Because of his grace that's been extended to you. I'm not trying to make you legalist, but it's just the hour we live in. The devil's made every single little excuse in the world to come in, and it's sin. It gets us out of fellowship with God. It gets us out of the Word of God. It gets us out of church. It gets us out of the tapes. It gets us feet on some worldly garbage. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing out there. It's gone. There's nothing the devil's got anymore. Don't let them put you on some rabbit trail. Searching the news out, trying to find something to entertain you. It's the devil. There ain't nothing out there no more. Maybe if I find this, this will be the... It's all trash. There's nothing out there. What you're looking for is all around you. It's Him. Hallelujah. I believe God forgives each one that was sincere. Just right here. And every one of you that's, I can see, mean business. I just came from a service where I couldn't say that. But I can say that tonight. Now put your faith behind the Word that God... I know I did wrong. But I know that your grace from foreknowledge was coming right here today to help me. And I'm accepting it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You say, well, you know, the devil gets you looking at somebody else, won't he? If I just had, you know, if Brother Andrew was my husband, yeah, you go be my wife for a little while. You'll be praying for a different husband. The devil gets you doing that. If my husband was more spiritual, my wife was more spiritual, if my daddy was, and all, that's a bunch of excuses. You be the spiritual one then. You be the example that they will look at you and say, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could go through any trial and still have joy. I wish I could go through any rebuke and still say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm never leaving you. Hallelujah. Come in church sick as a dog, but you're going to do it because you got faith. You know God's honored your faith every time. I've never seen one of you come to church not feel alone, Him not come take care of it right here. Hallelujah. And why does God do that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my, y'all pulling now. You believe it, I know you do. Praise your glorious name. Thank you, Jesus. Can we yield ourselves to Him in worship now? Oh, praise you, Jesus. You all felt the change of the Spirit. Now yield your heart to God like never before, please. You're the bride of Christ. If you believe me as a servant of God, I'm telling you, God's glory is in you. You're an unstoppable force. You've made your heart right with God. Don't get the condemnation out of this room now. You've done laid it all there on the throne. He's done forgive you of it, and He wants the glory out of your life now. Praise your glorious name. Praise your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Play past me. That's heaven. Get you. Switch over there. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep worshiping now. Thank you, Lord. Pass me on. Hallelujah. Let those words just go down deep in your soul now. Brother, sister, you need a fresh Holy Ghost baptism. It's here. Open your heart and say, Father, just pour it on me and I'll accept it. And don't get all quiet on God when He pours it on you. Say, well, was that Him? Yes, it was Him. Give Him the praise for what He's done for you. Thank His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't be those lepers that just went on saying, well, thanks for healing me, but I'm out of here. Be the one that turns around and say, but wait a minute, where did this blessing come from? Raise your hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. Let your reserve go. Let your flesh just fall off the side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're not fanatics. You're Christians. You're adopted sons. I believe that with all my heart. I'm speaking to people that are going to rapture. I'm speaking to those who are free from sin. That's it. Come on now. Keep going through. Keep pressing right through those devils of doubt, those devils of unbelief. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, praise your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While on others, Lord. But don't pass me by, Lord. I thank you for blessing our sister. I thank you for blessing that brother. Don't pass me up. I'm opening my heart just the same. I'm doing everything I know to just step aside from all my unbelief, from all my creeds, from all my denominations. Say that the Word said where two or three are gathered, you are here. They said where two of you agree on any one thing, that you'll do it, Lord. And I agree with this people. Their faith is in the building now. I agree with them, Lord. May the Word come to pass now. Hallelujah. Let that faith hit our sister about her children. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your glorious name. That's not presuming, that's the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. I wasn't even looking with that one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, just worship Him now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, are you trying to be like Brother Branham? Oh, no. But it's the same God here with us now. Deliverance going through. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What an unstoppable force you are, Lord. Praise your holy name. I believe can't stand around here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, you all believe so much more than you think. You've got the faith you need. Don't let the devil let you doubt no more. You've got it. Hallelujah. It's coming from everywhere. You've all got it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him use your voice, sis. Let Him use your body today, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be His hands. Be His voice. Hallelujah. Praise Him in the Spirit. Praise Him in a song. Glory to God. Praise Him with your words. Praise Him with your life. Praise Him with your faith. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Lord Jesus, have your way in every life that's here now. I commit it to you, Lord. Trophies of this word that's going forth today. Trophies of the message of the hour, the testament that it's sent from God. And Lord, you're getting the bride ready. She will be there. She's spotless. Hallelujah. Because your sons, God gave you the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just let the joy of the Lord now as you've been delivered, brother, sister. Just let it flow out of your life. Oh, any amount of appreciation you can show, just lift your hands and give it to the Lord now. Worship a little while now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why? past. All right, let's sing it all together with all our hearts to Him now. Whoa, we're crying, saved. Why?